Imagine your brain as a stage with two distinct characters, one quick, intuitive, and automatic, the other slow, deliberate, and analytical. This is the revolutionary insight at the heart of thinking fast and slow. System 1 operates effortlessly, recognizing a friend's face, completing bread and with butter, or feeling alarmed at an angry expression. System 2 requires concentration, calculating 17 times 24, filling out tax forms, or parsing complex arguments. This distinction isn't merely academic, it shapes every decision we make. What makes this framework so powerful is understanding that System 2, what we identify as our conscious self, is surprisingly lazy. It requires mental effort, and our brains are programmed to conserve energy. This explains why we often default to System 1's quick judgments, even when deeper thinking would serve us better. Ever notice how a challenging conversation naturally pauses when driving conditions become difficult? That's your limited mental bandwidth at work. When we're mentally depleted, we make different choices. Judges grant more paroles after lunch breaks when their mental resources are refreshed, and increasingly default to the safer no as the day progresses. Our minds constantly weave narratives from fragments of information, creating meaning even where none exists. When Apple struggled in the 1990s and later became the world's most valuable company, analysts crafted equally convincing explanations for both outcomes. This narrative fallacy gives us false comfort in our understanding of complex events. This storytelling tendency creates the illusion of understanding, our belief that we can make sense of the past and predict the future. Books about successful companies attribute achievements to leadership or culture, yet research suggests luck plays a major role. Companies celebrated for excellence often regress to average performance, not because they lost their formula, but because extreme success typically involves substantial good fortune. This illusion fuels dangerous overconfidence. Financial experts make market predictions despite evidence they're no better than chance, while hindsight bias creates the false impression that outcomes were predictable all along. When faced with difficult questions, our minds substitute easier ones through substitution. Instead of, "How satisfied am I with my life?" we unconsciously answer, "What is my mood right now?" These mental shortcuts, heuristics, help us navigate complexity efficiently. The availability heuristic makes us judge probabilities based on easily recalled examples, like fearing flying after news of a crash. The representativeness heuristic leads us to judge by similarity instead of statistics, as when assuming a meticulous, introverted person is more likely a librarian than a farmer, despite statistics showing otherwise. The anchoring effect demonstrates how initial values, even random ones, bias our estimates. In one study, participants' estimates of African countries in the UN varied dramatically based on arbitrary numbers they were shown first. Those who saw 10 estimated around 25%, while those shown 65 estimated around 45%. Our pattern-seeking brains resist randomness. Consider this. Counties with both the highest and lowest kidney cancer rates are typically rural and sparsely populated. This seeming contradiction has a simple statistical explanation. Small samples naturally show greater variation than large ones. With fewer people, rural counties are more likely to display extreme rates by chance. Yet we prefer causal explanations, like attributing the rates to clean living or rural poverty. This law of small numbers, our tendency to draw strong conclusions from limited data, appears across many fields. Basketball fans believe in hot hands, despite statistics showing shot streaks are random. Investment managers receive praise for market-beating returns that reflect luck rather than skill. Small hospitals see more days with unusual boy-to-girl birth ratios than large ones, simply due to smaller sample sizes. These statistical principles fundamentally conflict with human intuition. Even statisticians who understand these concepts intellectually find their instincts leading them astray. We're natural storytellers, wired to find meaning in randomness rather than think statistically. Expert intuition can be remarkably accurate, but its reliability depends on the environment in which it developed. It works best in predictable settings where people have had extensive practice with clear feedback. Chess masters, firefighters, and experienced nurses often make excellent intuitive judgments because they've developed pattern recognition in domains with consistent rules and immediate feedback. A firefighter's sudden urge to evacuate before a floor collapse isn't mystical. It's System 1 recognizing subtle cues from past experiences. However, intuition typically fails in irregular or unpredictable environments. Stock market forecasters and political pundits work in domains where patterns are unclear and feedback is delayed. The key difference between kind learning environments, regular patterns, clear feedback, and wicked ones, irregular patterns, ambiguous feedback, explains why some experts develop genuine expertise while others merely develop overconfidence. In a coin toss gamble where tails means losing $100, most people demand at least $200 for heads to take the bet. This loss aversion, where losses hurt roughly twice as much as equivalent gains feel good, explains many puzzling behaviors in economics. This phenomenon explains why investors hold losing stocks too long while selling winners early, why homeowners resist selling below purchase price, and why negotiators struggle when each side views their own concessions as painful losses while discounting others' concessions. How choices are framed dramatically affects decisions. The same surgery sounds more appealing with a 90% survival rate versus a 10% mortality rate. People also prefer certainty over probability, leading them to buy insurance and choose smaller guaranteed gains over larger uncertain ones. These insights from prospect theory earned Kahneman the Nobel Prize in Economics, showing we're not purely rational decision makers, but are heavily influenced by framing and our asymmetric reactions to gains and losses. Imagine enjoying a beautiful symphony that ends with a horrible screeching sound. Your evaluation of this experience depends on which self you consult, the experiencing self or the remembering self. The experiencing self lives in the present moment, while the remembering self creates stories from experiences, heavily influenced by endings and peak moments, the peak-end rule. For the remembering self, a terrible ending can overshadow an otherwise wonderful experience. Pain research illustrates this distinction. Patients rated longer colonoscopies with diminishing end pain as less unpleasant than shorter procedures with the same peak pain, despite enduring more total discomfort. The ending proved more influential than duration. Since the remembering self drives future decisions, we often choose based on anticipated memories rather than experiences. When evaluating our lives, we rely on narratives instead of moment-by-moment experiences. A life with a compelling story might be valued above one with more happiness but less coherence. This duality suggests we should consider both selves, creating experiences that are pleasant in the moment while building positive memories. It explains why the pursuit of happiness is complex and why good stories don't always align with maximum enjoyment.